Welcome back to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, and today's conversation about management in the federal government is with Kyle McSlarro. Kyle's the Deputy Secretary of the U.S. Department of Energy, and joining us in our conversation is Kevin Costell. Well, Kyle, let's spend some time on the Department's response to the President's Management Agenda. Could you tell us generally how it's going?
President's Management Agenda is a central part of what I do in terms of managing the Department. I said earlier in the show that the president has made it very clear to us that he expects us to have to show results for what it is we do in government. And the president's management agenda is an attempt to really flesh out what that means in practice in several key areas, which I assume we'll go through. But the Department of Energy piece of this has been to sort of take the lead on a couple of items, particularly on e-government. And then to really try to implement each of these pieces of the management agenda in a way that as we call it, in when you go through this process, getting to green, which just by way of explanation means that all of the agencies are rated in two ways, and they're rated with a red light, green light, yellow light approach. And obviously, red would be bad, green is good, and yellow means you're making progress, but you're not quite there. When we're managed on an absolute scale, where are you in terms of achieving the objective, and we're managed in terms of progress. Good news from our point of view is the Department of Energy is one of, I think, only four or five agencies that's actually all green across the board in terms of progress. Bad news is, like most other agencies, we're still well short of where we need to be in terms of actually achieving the objectives. But the management agenda really got off and running probably a year and a half ago, so early 2002. It was talked about really during 2001, and they sort of built a program, but that's really when it was kicked off. So I'm pleased that we have improved, that we've made progress, and as I said, in some ways relative to other cabinet agencies, we're actually doing pretty well. But at the end of the day, the real measurement is whether or not you've achieved these objectives, and so we still have our work cut out for us, but it's part of everything I say to our managers, and I'm sure they're tired of hearing it, but they'll stop hearing it when we actually accomplish our goal.
Could you tell us about what you've done so far regarding your IT and what the department is planning to do and how that might fit into the overall e-government, e-business modernization at the Department of Energy?
Yeah, and I'm glad to have an opportunity to sort of walk through. One of the things the management agenda is designed to do is to bring greater government efficiencies to bear. Both within each department and among the departments. So, for example, with IT, what we discovered, we actually have a called an e-government working group, which is a subcommittee of the President's Management Council in which I sit. And one of the things we did was explore how government agencies spend their monies when it comes to IT, and we discovered a lot of duplication. So on one level, what we're trying to do is to bring some kind of sensible order to what budget requests each agency makes to identify the kinds of IT projects where one, say, the Department of Defense can put in a request for some kind of enterprise architecture, but it can be something that other government agencies can be users and pay for the benefits that they're getting so that you don't have the Department of Energy, Department of Defense, Department of Agriculture all buying the same thing when, in fact, one can buy it and the others can use it. So on that level, we're trying to bring efficiencies to bear. And then within each department, in our case, we're instituting something called iManage, which is designed to we're trying to make a little more systematic and bring some common order to the enterprise architecture of the department. Because we have so many scientists and so many labs and so many people who know things about computers, the result was that every single department or program or official, it seemed, thought they knew best what IT needs they had. And probably all of them were right, but they produced the wrong answer. The right answer is to for most functions, to have one system so people can talk to each other, and then identify those areas where there should be some additional flexibility. You don't want to straitjacket people, but we were at a point where systems weren't actually effectively communicating with other systems. And so our iManage initiative is designed to have in one database the kinds of information that all managers, doesn't matter what specific programs they're in, can go to so you can still see real-time data on projects and timelines and initiatives and what the status of them is, where they are in terms of the spending, where they are in terms of performance integration with the budget, and allow us to sort of pool this kind of information so managers can have access to it. And that's just one initiative among many when it comes to IT or e-government. But it's not something that's ever been attempted before. And there's a good bit of sort of cultural education that's going on, because a lot of people just sort of scratch their heads and say, well, gee, you know, I haven't needed to do this before. But so a lot of this is about explaining to people, not that you're doing things wrong, but that there are huge opportunities out there, and opportunities that in many cases the private sector has already figured out that we can take advantage of too. And every time I go through an exercise like this, I find that, you know, after it's done, it's implemented, about 2 months later, somebody will stop me in the hall and say, I get it. Now I understand why, but you just have to sort of get people to take the plunge first.
Another one of the items in the President's management agenda is competitive sourcing. And you described that the department has many more non-employees assisting in its mission than employees. So what does competitive sourcing mean to the Department of Energy?
Yeah, it is a strange thing when it comes to the Department of Energy. Just by way of explanation, competitive sourcing is often misunderstood. It's often thought of as just simply privatizing government jobs and throwing it to the private sector. The truth is, it's an exercise in trying to force people to analyze and answer a simple question, which is, what is an inherently governmental activity? When you identify that kind of function as inherently governmental, there's something about it that only a government official should be doing, that allows you to be a lot more disciplined about looking at other jobs. And so those jobs can be done by government employees, or perhaps it might be better if they're done in the private sector. And that reaches the second stage of the analysis, which is a comparison of the costs and efficiencies associated with the government employees doing a particular kind of function or private sector employees doing it. And I don't go into competitive sourcing assuming that one group or another is better. I think that's what the analysis is designed to tell you. You need to let it do its job. I do think it's important that we at least ask the question. And this is obviously something that can be controversial from time to time. But it's, as you point out, it's a little different with the Department of Energy, because so much of our ongoing work right now is done by private corporations, by contractors. And so there's a little bit of a, well, gee, we already contract out so much work. What could there possibly be left to contract out? And I think probably in a very large sense, that's right. But I also think that there are discrete areas. In our case, financial services was one area we decided to look at. And there are probably others that as we move through the A76 competitive sourcing process we'll look at, we at least need to, ask the question and see what the answers are.
Can you share with us the department's budget and performance management initiatives and how those might play both internal and externally with your M&O contractors also?
Yeah, the budget and performance integration is a perfectly sensible and logical goal. I mean, you want to be able to match your dollars to real results, to real performance. But it's very hard to implement it in practice. It's probably hard for any government agency to do. I think it's especially hard for a research and development technology agency to do. It's easy for a scientist to come in and say, I've got a great idea. I want to spend $1 billion and build an accelerator and study all kinds of, you know, subatomic particles that you've never heard of. And it's quite another to say, okay, well, besides that it's a great thing, just for science's sake, what is it we actually get out of it? Because the whole point of doing the research is you often find answers to questions you never thought of asking. So you have to really balance the kinds of programs that you're funding and force people to ask those kinds of questions and to understand, at least with R&D, particularly basic science, that you're not always going to get a perfect match between dollars and performance, quote unquote. For our other programs outside of the science arena, I think we've had a much easier time. I think it was just that people historically had not been forced to think through how to justify the programs. And now that they're doing it, we're actually in our second year of this cycle now. It was probably fairly rough the first year. I think my expectation, just based on what I've seen so far, is that it will be much better this year. I think people now sort of have the rhythm of the kinds of questions that you ask before you ask for for money from the American taxpayer. And the flip side of it is you've got to make sure, having supported and justified a need for a certain expenditure of money, that if you get it from Congress, you now have to prove that you implemented what you said you were going to do. And so part of the process is a painful one, which is we actually rate performance in these programs. And we started this last year, and this year, you know, as those ratings come out, if people aren't performing according to the performance that they themselves participated in identifying, it's going to affect their budgets, because we're not going to keep throwing good money after bad. I mean, all of these things probably are meritorious, but there's not an unlimited budget. There's not an unlimited budget even in the entire federal government, let alone within the Department of Energy. And so we're going to move resources to those programs that are performing the best.
Interesting. What's the President's Management Council and what do they do? We'll ask Kyle McSlarrow, a member of the council, to tell us about it when the Business of Government Hour returns.